good evening. It is a pleasure to be able to worship this evening. Romans 4, verses 4 through 7. Let us turn our attention now to the reading of God's word. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Bow with me in prayer. Father, may your Spirit give us eyes to see and ears to hear the words of your Son in this passage. This we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. What worries you? What troubles you this evening? There's so many things in our lives that can cause us worry and anxiety. It could be something as simple as missing the turn on the way to an important meeting on the highway. Or it could be something as disheartening as receiving a terrible diagnosis from the doctor and just not knowing what to do in that moment. See, in our life, these things can happen that build and build and build into this torrent of anxiety that can overwhelm us. How can we overcome that anxiety? Well, Paul here is ending his letter to the Philippians, and he does so by leaving them with comfort and with hope in the face of anxiety. And he's explain to us as well how we can have joy and peace in our Savior Jesus Christ, even when worries seem to overcome us. Paul here begins in verse 4 by saying, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice." Paul here is reminding them of the joy that they have in Christ. And the question is, why joy? Why here? Well, throughout this book of Philippians, there's been a theme of unity in the face of opposition, in the face of disputing amongst members, potentially, of dissension, of grumbling. Even just right before this passage, Paul commends these two women, Euodia and Syntyche, to agree in the Lord. And so in the face of all that, in this call to unity, Paul is reminding them of their joy in the Lord. A joy that gives them contentedness in Christ and ultimately unity. But notice that this isn't just an ideal, but it's a command. Paul is saying here, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. And maybe we wonder, how can I rejoice always? Paul, you don't understand. You don't know what I'm going through right now. You want me to rejoice in this moment? Surely, Paul, you can't mean rejoice always as in actually in my deepest, most darkest moments of my life. Well, Paul understands rejoicing in all circumstances. Just earlier in this letter, he's talked about how he's imprisoned in chains for the gospel. He's talked about how everybody has left him except for Timothy and Epaphroditus. And yet in chapter 2, verse 17, he can rejoice even if he is to be martyred for the faith. Paul understands rejoicing in all circumstances. See, the reality is our Christian life is filled with these ups and downs, and yet through it all, we can have joy. Not because joy is some kind of vapid happiness where you just put on a smile and try and tough it out through the day, but because our joy is this deep rootedness in Christ, a contentment in him. And it's a joy that is seen by those around us. Paul tells us that we are to let our reasonableness be known to everyone. And that word reasonableness is not talking about logical reasoning, but it's instead talking about a bearing through all circumstances, that when others see us rejoicing even in our hard times, they see Christ working through us as one body together. And why ultimately can we rejoice in all things? It's because the Lord is at hand, as Paul says there in verse 5. Yes, this is speaking about Christ being near us here in this life, but even more so, Paul is directing the Philippians to look to that coming day when Christ will return. Throughout this book, he's talked about the day of the Lord, the day of Christ, and he is calling this Philippian church to look at Christ who is coming again for them and to find their joy in him. See, we can bear all things in this life, brothers and sisters, because we know that this life is not all that there is. There is a life to come. That our Savior hasn't left us alone here to suffer through this on our own. But he builds us up, strengthens us, and will one day come again to take us to be where he is. And it's a recognition that our Lord does not lie in a grave. For all who have put their trust in Christ, know that Christ has died for you, that he rose for you, and that he is returning for you. Christ is for you. So are you suffering? Are you in pain? Are you struggling with doubts or with worries? Friend, look to your Savior above and see there your joy. And yet even when we know this, when we know that Christ is coming again, when we know that we should rejoice in all circumstances, this life can be full of so many things that seem to tear down our joy. One of the greatest threats is anxiety. And Paul recognizes this. So he goes on in verse 6 to say, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Paul here, echoing the words of our Lord in Matthew 6, calls his Philippian church to not be anxious for anything. Paul here isn't talking about those areas of our life where it is right to have concern, to plan or to think about things, but what Paul is speaking about here is a kind of all-consuming worry that crowds out our joy and our peace. And it's so easy to let anxiety, to let worry take root in our heart. Maybe, children, you feel worried or anxious when you're feeling scared. Maybe you're alone or things aren't going your way. Or high school or college students, you might feel anxiety not knowing what your future life is going to look like. Or friends, maybe you worry about raising your children, or you worry about health or about finances or about relationships. There is a never-ending list of things to worry about. And yet, Paul can call us to not be anxious in anything, because we have a Savior and a Lord and a God that we can turn to at any moment in prayer. Here Paul uses in verse 6 four words for prayer. He calls them to go to God in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, to let their requests be made known to God. And Paul there is not talking about four different types of prayer, but is instead explaining how glorious, how magnificent prayer is, and how we can go to God with anything on our minds. Think about this. At all times, at any place that you are at, you have a direct line to the Creator of this universe, who is not only your Lord, but your Father. And you can know that he is listening to you. You can know that your Savior is interceding for you. You can know that because of the Holy Spirit, your words, even when you don't know what to say, are being heard by the Father. And through all of this, our prayers are marked by thanksgiving, a thanksgiving that overshadows all our anxiety, knowing that we have been given so much in Christ. And what we receive, what God promises to give to us, even when it can seem difficult, even when it can seem like we're struggling, is ultimately peace. A kind of peace that surpasses all understanding, that guards our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. This isn't just some kind of warm feeling that everything's going to work out in the end, not a feeling of just being at peace with the universe. This is the peace of God, a peace that is applied to you by the Holy Spirit, a peace that is ultimately rooted in the fact that you, if you have put your trust in Christ, are reconciled to God. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the peace that our Savior earned for us, a peace that even while we were enemies of God, he died for us, taking upon himself that punishment that we deserve, that wrath that separated us from God. And through his sacrifice, he has brought us near to our God so that he is our Father. And the peace of God is always given to us in Christ, never apart from him. Always through our union with Christ, we experience this peace that surpasses all understanding. And we look to Christ always. And do you remember what Jesus did himself? In those final moments before he was about to be arrested, he went to his God, he went to his Father in prayer. See, Jesus prayed there in the Garden of Gethsemane, in his final hours, filled with anguish, an anguish that caused him to have sweat as great drops of blood. In those final moments, he turned to his Father in prayer. He submitted his will to the Father. If our Savior, if he did this in his hour of trouble and pain, how much more should we when we are struggling with anxiety and with worry? And know this, that all of the sorrow, all of the anguish that Christ endured, he endured on your behalf. Heidelberg Catechism, question 44. Commenting on the descent clause in the Apostles' Creed says, why does the creed add, he descended into hell? Answer, to assure me during attacks of deepest dread and temptation that Christ my Lord, by suffering unspeakable anguish, pain, and terror of soul on the cross, but also earlier, has delivered me from hellish anguish and torment. This is what Christ did for us, that he suffered on behalf of his people, that he did all of this for the joy that was set before him, so that in him we might have joy, so that because of him we might have peace, so that through him we can always go to our Father in prayer. Friend, what are you suffering in this moment? What pains do you go through? What doubts or worries are you struggling with? Go to your Father in prayer and find there Christ for you. He is your joy. He is your peace. Pray with me. Father, we rejoice that we are numbered amongst your people. We rejoice to know that Jesus, our Lord and our God, is our Redeemer, our fellow heir, our King. May the Holy Spirit give us peace in Christ Jesus, that we may patiently endure all things in this life as we await the return of your Son. In Jesus Christ, we trust and find our greatest joy, and it is in his name that we pray. Amen.